Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
I shout from time to time. No intention is fate to mine. I feel for you, not just for me. My heart beats on. Why can't you see? The land, reap your mother, take the poison from all my waters, cut the trees down to my soul, strip my body.
From Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah, from Kenyon Records CD Volume 2, Voices Across the Land. The name of the song was Mother Earth Speaks. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kadishi Native Center. Today's program, we focus on the raping of Mother Earth and oppression of Appalachian communities from the coal mining process known as Mountaintop Removal, MTR. I will be speaking with Mr. Vernon Haltom, a representative of the community organizations Coal River Mountain Watch and Mountain Justice. Vernon and a number of other fellow Appalachian activists are here at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance Gathering, NCORE. They are here in order to present their environmental justice struggle to speak out against having their region become more of a national sacrifice zone from coal mining. Coal mining already has caused tremendous ecological and social impacts to the lands and peoples of Appalachia for many, many years. National Coalition of Organized Resistance is an annual event that brings together activists from a variety of issues, struggles, ideologies, and backgrounds for a weekend of learning and reflecting on the state of progressive movements occurring locally, nationally, and worldwide. Through diverse workshops, panel discussions, skill shares, tabling, and the creation of an open space, NCORE seeks to promote organized action amongst participants against injustices and inequalities that we confront in our daily lives and in the world. NCORE is held on the main campus of American University in Washington, D.C. Yad Kadishi Native Center was honored to be a part of NCORE 2006, networking with many fine groups and individuals committed to working for a better world. NCORE folks share Yad Kadishi Native Center's concern for the protection of Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Meeting other serious peace, social, economic, and environmental justice activists from across the country is very empowering. What I especially appreciated is the fact that the majority of NCORE participants are youth activists. It gives me great comfort to see the dedication of many young people who fight globalization and carry on the struggles against many injustices in the world. At NCORE, Mountain Justice presented a workshop session that informed participants about the human, environmental, and economic dimensions of mountaintop removal. Yad Kadishi Native Center is dedicated to protecting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Since our beginning, Yad Kadishi has been working to defend Mother Earth by fighting energy, environment, and natural resource issues around the globe. We are proud to have been involved in the establishment and leadership of the National Environmental Justice Movement. Yad Kadishi Native Center's Usit Kamu program, which means protecting Mother Earth, continues to be active in the international environmental justice movement. The issues of coal mining and mountaintop removal have long been a major concern of ours. I myself have visited Appalachia several times in order to document and report on the impacts of clear-cutting forests, coal mining, and resultant water pollution and toxic waste from energy development. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I am a professional ecologist with years of field experience in the science of environmental monitoring and impact assessment. I have worked as a forest and land planner, environmental permitting specialist. I understand the development process of the mining industry, having fought against many projects. I am experienced with the interagency administrative regulatory process of government, having studied a number of law and policies such as the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, the National Pollution Discharge System, Mine Land Reclamation Act, National Forest Management Act, etc. I have testified against energy land use plans and permit applications across the country, including mountaintop removal coal mining in Appalachia. One such policy change Yad Kadishi Native Center fought was the Bush administration's rules change to the Clean Water Act, which redefines fill material. Mining companies are now able to dump millions of tons of mountaintop debris into nearby streams, which of course greatly damages aquatic ecosystems. The issues around coal mining Appalachia are very similar to the issues of coal mining in Indian Country, which the Arkansas Native Center has been fighting against for years. The situation of Big Mountain Black Mesa with the Dene Navajo and Hopi, or the mining of Cheyenne in Blackfeet lands, as examples, have many similarities to the cultural, environmental, social, and economic impacts happening to Appalachia and other places in the world. In March 2004, American Indian Movement warrior Matt Sherman, Walks on Wind, sent the following email around to Native American activists, which I have kept in my file on Mountain Justice. I wish to read his note. Quote, "Friends, I was sent to Morgantown, West Virginia in 1999 by American Indian Movement leader Dennis Banks. My instruction was a single sentence, quote, help the Indian women save the burial site in Morgantown, unquote. It took 2 years, but with Creator's blessing, we succeeded. From time to time, someone would ask me about mountaintop removal. I always had a more important, quote, Indian issue, unquote, in which I was involved. Last month, I was petitioned by some people of Southwest West Virginia to come down and take a look at the destruction. On March 4th, I drove down to Boone and Raleigh counties to see for myself. I was escorted up Cavewood Mountain. At the top was the Stanley Family Cemetery. What surrounded this little plot was incomprehensible. Total devastation and destruction as far as the eye could see. The air was filled with the screech of hawks searching for places to land. The trees are gone and the land is poisoned. Air reeks of chemicals. Demolition equipment larger than houses roamed about as monsters on a sterile landscape. It was like a surreal scene from a futuristic sci-fi movie, but it was no movie. It was real. Death and destruction in vivid black and gray. We held a prayer ceremony. I apologized to a sacred mother for turning away when I was asked to save her. I apologized for my cowardice in making believe that this wasn't an Indian issue. I told my sacred mother I would no longer stand silent as she was raped and violated. This is truly an Indian issue if there ever was one. This Saturday, March 13th, the brave women, men, and children of West Virginia will hold a vigil and rally and take a stand against Massey Cole and the other predators and parasites who ripped the face from our sacred mother simply because it's cheaper than underground mining. I will be there. I invite you to join us. As people of conscience, we must put a stop to this domestic terror. Marsh Fork Elementary School, State Road 3, southwest of Charleston. The rally begins 11 a.m. Warning, if you come, you will be in danger. A sludge dam sits a few hundred feet from the Marsh Fork School, the same kind of dam which has killed hundreds of people throughout West Virginia. You will face the same danger the school children face every day they go to school. If you've ever needed a cause to fight for, this is it. Please stand with us. Please keep us in your prayers. Unquote. And that was sent from American Indian Movement warrior Matt Sherman. Before we listen to today's program guest, Mr. Vernon Haltom, I want to play a song from a CD he gifted me entitled Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia Rise Up Against Mountaintop Removal Coal Mining. The song is entitled Larry's Mountain, sung by Sherilyn Hawk with Vassar Clements. As you listen to the song, think about the devastating impacts of Appalachian coal mining. The mountaintop removal process begins with clear-cutting thousands of acres of some of the world's most biologically diverse temperate hardwood forests. Much of the timber is either burned or buried. Then, tons of explosives are detonated to loosen the rock. Then, the topsoil and rubble are dumped into nearby valleys, polluting waterways. Coal companies then extract the coal seams layer by layer, a process that itself emits toxic coal dust into the air and sediment erosion of the sacred, scarred surface land. The coal is prepared for market in processing plants that use a mysterious mix of chemicals to remove impurities. The washed out heavy metals and cleaning compounds are stored in multi-billion gallon toxic waste ponds, sludge dams. Many of these dams are placed precariously above homes, communities, and schools. There are a number of examples where these waste dams have leaked, polluting the environment and causing human health problems. Several of these toxic pond dams have even failed, resulting in the deaths of people and killing of fish. Entire valleys and communities have greatly suffered from the pollution, contamination, floods, and sedimentation directly as a result of mountaintop removal. The railroad network of coal trains across the land and despoiling the mountains with no real mine land reclamation add further insult to injury. The land and people's way of life is totally destroyed. After the song, we will welcome Mr. Vernon Haltom to Wolf Mountain Radio. Please be advised that this interview took place at the National Coalition of Organized Resistance Conference, and therefore the audio quality is a little poor due to the large number of background noise and conversations. However, the subject matter is very important, and I urge you to please listen carefully to Mr. Vernon Haltom. Once again, you are listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Thank you for listening. Now, a very beautiful and important song from Voices of Appalachia.
I am a West Virginia mountain and I'm nervous. I'm wondering if I'm gonna lose my top. They've been blasting me down wedge by wedge to take my soul of coal. I'm begging you to make this nonsense stop. I have a friend who fights for me. He's trying to stand his ground, but the ground is being scooped away around him anyhow. They've no respect for sacred land where Larry's family rests. They burned his home and shot his truck to make him leave his nest. I am a West Virginia mountain and I'm nervous. I'm wondering if I'm gonna lose my top. They've been blasting me down wedge by wedge to take my soul up whole. I'm begging you to make this nonsense stop. The earth they scoop away is tossed into the land below, filling valleys and causing floods where waters never rose. Where there once were forests, there are grasslands without streams. Appalachian wildlife can't adapt to these extremes. I am a West Virginia mountain and I'm nervous. I'm wondering if I'm gonna lose my top. They've been blasting me down wedge by wedge to take my soul up home. I'm begging you to make this nonsense stop. My furry and my feathered friends and Larry need your help. You can make a difference in a land of greed and wealth. Mountaintop removal cannot be part of my plan, nor can peak reduction help me make them understand. I am a West Virginia mountain and I'm nervous. I'm wondering if I'm gonna lose my top. They've been blasting me down wedge by wedge to take my soul up. I'm begging you. you to make this nonsense stop. Save the mountain, save the mountain, save the mountain right now. Save the mountain, save the mountain, save the mountains somehow. I am a West Virginia mountain and I'm nervous.
Vernon Halton, I'm with Coal River Mountain Watch and Mountain Justice. We've been fighting mountaintop removal for some time now. We came here today to organize with other folks who are interested in this sort of struggle. That's not just an environmental issue. For us, it's very much a social justice issue as well. You have people whose families go back 9 generations who are being uprooted. People are being poisoned. Most of the country doesn't know that in West Virginia, each year we use 38 times the net explosive force of Hiroshima to blast the mountains apart. The rubble is dumped into the streams. We've had over 1,200 miles of streams buried or polluted. The rape of the earth goes on and on. It's horrendous. Most people don't believe it when they hear as bad as it is. We're here to generate more interest and speak with more people who are interested in networking with Mountain Justice to bring an end to this practice and bring justice to the coal fields.
Well, in many ways, people of what's now in English called Appalachia are very much treated similarly to how many North American Indians, as we're called, and we have a lot of mining issues across Indian country, so I understand very well the cultural history and social economics of what is happening. For the benefit of our worldwide audience, would you let our listeners know who are the multinational companies that are exploiting Mother Earth?
There are a number of coal companies that are doing it. We have Peabody Energy, who is notorious in the Southwest for what they've done at Black Mesa. In West Virginia, they claim to not do any surface mining. In fact, last year when Mountain Justice Summer was first starting to make a little publicity, their public relations people called us and said, we don't do any mountaintop removal, and basically trying to get us not to bother them. But they do, they still do underground mining. Anytime you have mining of coal, you have irresponsible practices that go along with the preparation of that coal. You have poisoned water from it. You have sludge dams from that. Massey Energy is the biggest culprit in West Virginia and Kentucky. Massey, not too long ago, was part of a multinational corporation, but now they're, you know, within the United States. But they are nefarious in their dealings with politics. Their CEO, all he has to do is rattle his saber and our politicians cave in like a house of cards. In 2004, put $2.5 million of his money into a Supreme Court justice race and got his man on the seat. With nearly immediate results, they have 2 out of the 5 West Virginia Supreme Court justices, very close friends or allies or campaign recipients from that, and they vote in that favor. Arch Coal is another one. Arch Coal has vast tracts of mountaintop removal in West Virginia and in other states. A lot of these companies are outside of the state. You know, some of the way they spin it to the local people is, you know, when people like Mountain Justice participants come to West Virginia or Kentucky or Tennessee, they tell the local folks, their workers and their families, that these are out-of-state instigators, when in fact the real out-of-state people are these coal companies. Arch Coal is based in St. Louis. Mackey Energy is based in Virginia. 42% of the West Virginia Coal Association is headquartered outside of the state. So the real outsiders are these companies. It's like a colonial situation. It's a colonial extractive economy. You have outside companies who come in, they wave a little bit of money around, they make some money for a few people, they extract the wealth, and they leave the regions in poverty, they leave the earth destroyed. Some of the most heavily coal-producing counties in West Virginia are some of the poorest counties in the country. They promise wealth and prosperity and leave ruin and poverty in their wake.
Vernon, my next question focuses on the role and relationship of government agencies who have legal mandates to protect human health, worker safety, sustainably manage natural resources, and protect the environment. National laws such as NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, Mine Land Reclamation Act, Endangered Species Act, the National Forest Management Act, Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act, NAGPRA, Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSHA, and the National Environmental Justice Law, all very important examples of the American public's concern for the health and well-being of our country's citizens and care for our natural environment. As you know, I am a professional ecologist that has spent many years involved with forest and land use management. My field biology work has been focused on environmental impact and monitoring studies. I've also worked in interagency environmental permitting. Suffice to say, I've seen many examples where federal, regional, state, and local governments have not enforced important laws which they are mandated to do. What is the bureaucracy like in Appalachia? Would you talk how government agencies, such as the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and state regulatory agencies allow coal companies like Massey, Arch Coal, Peabody Coal, rape the land?
The bureaucracy is, I would say, inefficient. As we've seen recently with the mine disasters, these regulatory agencies do not regulate as they should. They have no teeth, or they choose not to bite. With the environmental impact statement, specifically for mountaintop removal, when that began as the result of a lawsuit over mountaintop removal in 1998, the Bragg decision. At that time, that was during the Clinton administration, part of the settlement was that the EPA would do an environmental impact statement. Scientists had several findings, bad for the environment and bad for communities, and these forests cannot be regrown, these streams cannot be restored. In 2001, when Bush came into office, his appointees at EPA changed the focus of that environmental impact statement. So you have conclusions and recommendations that do not match the science and findings of Bush, which changed from finding ways to minimize the impacts of mountaintop removal to finding ways to streamline permitting and make it go faster so they can do it even faster, regardless of the horrible things that it does. Our state Department of Environmental Protection is, as far as I'm concerned, a puppet for the coal industry. They have no concern. When you have permit hearings where the citizens are only given 2 minutes of peace to speak against a coal silo just a couple hundred feet from an elementary school, and you have a man up there ringing the bell when your 2 minutes are finished, and it takes 10 or 12 DEP members at taxpayer expense on probably overtime driving taxpayer vehicles with taxpayer gas to come there, and one man presses the button for the recorder, one man rings the bell, and one lady signs you in. Why does it take that many people? And why does it take state police to keep order at one of these when they know we're not going to do anything? The DEP is, you know, they have very, very token efforts, but again, they have no teeth, and they have no willingness to rein in these abuses.
Tashkash. In the Mandan words, I greet you, Tashkash. It's a greeting that we've used to many different people as they travel across this land. We call ourselves the Nuwata, the people. The Nuwata lived here. The Nuwata people, the people of the land. We lived here for thousands of years, and when we did live here, we lived in the earth. Our stories say that we came from the earth. We climbed up the root of the grape. We climbed up that root. Many of us came up to this land until one who was too big was child. She was told to wait. But she wanted to bring her child into a new world, and that branch broke. So many are still under the ground waiting to come up. And when we came up here, we didn't want to take the life of our brothers to build a lodge. We had always been protected by the earth, so when we made our lodges, we dug the dirt down. Our center poles, like the four directions, they were powerful. When we needed help, we turned to those four powerful directions. those trees were cottonwood trees, because they grow here along the Missouri River. They're very tall and they're very beautiful, and they give us homes and they give us shields and they give us weapons and they give us toys for our children and they give us medicine, they give us comfort, and they give us many things. They sing to us. Even in the middle of winter, we can walk and hear their beautiful leaves crunching under our feet, and we wish for the springtime to come when that leaves dance against each other in the sky, the sixth direction. The sky is so beautiful. It's blue. It's full of water. And when that water touches the earth, it makes all good things grow. So we live there in the earth, and we are like the roots of that grass, and we are like the roots of that tree. We depend upon that water to feed our children, to nourish us, and to wash us, and to cleanse us, and to take all those bad things away from us, because we are a part of the earth. Nuwata people. We always lived in our lodges here along the river. Down below the trees, and below that coyote land, when the wind blows so cold in the wintertime, freeze your skin to put it out there. But we come here inside the lodge, we laid here, listen to the fire crack. We laid here and could smell the soup cooking. As we laid here in these lodges, we looked up and we saw the branches. And we dreamed about the day coming very soon when we would once again walk along those riverbanks, among those giant cottonwood trees. In that hot, thick willows, the willows that give life to our people. And so from that earth came the Mandan, the Hirata, the Nuwata, and the people of the willows. And so that's where we have lived for 1,000 years. And we hope that we will remember those places for 1,000 years. Because in those lodges lives our hearts. And in our hearts lives the memories of those who have gone before us. And in our hearts, we know that once again, when they take us outside, when our spirit leaves this world, we will return to the most beautiful home of all, our Mother Earth. So I'm very proud that I can say, I am one of those people. Those that lived in the Earth lodges, and those are the ways of our people. And if you come here to look upon this land, not all those hills are empty. Take a look. You might be able to walk inside. Listen. You might be able to hear the heartbeat.
A Mandan honoring song by Nuwata singer-songwriter Keith Bear from his Mekoshe music CD, Earth Lodge. The title of the song is Mandan Welcome, Warrior Return Song. I shared that song in order to express how we, indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, North America, consider the earth sacred, our mother. Keith Bear's song speaks of a way of life where what in English is called the environment, the land, is always treated with care. We native people have reverence for Mother Earth and all of our relations. Kinon Wantakwasin in my language, the animals, trees, plants, fish and marine life, birds and other winged beings, the insects and the very soil we walk upon. We honor Mother Earth and all of our natural world relatives through prayer and ceremonies, carried on from generation to generation. This song expresses what in English I term Earth ethic, a way of life that has a spirit relationship to the land, where we humans know that our lives and lives of our family and clans come from and are sustained from the earth. If we respect the land, she will care for us. Destroying Mother Earth is destroying ourselves and future generations of all life. This is unthinkable to my indigenous peoples and all who love Mother Earth. All who care for the well-being of all life must become earth warriors. Now in the 21st century, we must fight against globalization and the many crimes against Mother Earth and humanity that are occurring throughout the world. The raping of Appalachia is one such example. Yad Kiddushi Native Center is very proud to be part of the Mountain Justice Movement. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kodeshi Native Center. Today's program is part two of our series on mountaintop removal, mining, and the mountain justice movement that is defending Appalachia from further rape by energy companies such as Massey, Arch, and Peabody Coal. Today in Wolf Mountain Radio, we are talking with one such warrior, Mr. Vernon Haltom, who I met at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance Gathering in Washington, D.C. NCORE is a National Youth Global Justice Summit. Vernon and a number of his friends from Appalachia came to NCORE in order to network with activists from across the country and present a session on mountain justice, coal mining, mountaintop removal. Vernon, myself having visited Appalachia several times and working with mountain justice folks from your part of the country over the years, I know that many people of Appalachia have a deep love and strong connection to their land. Mountain people's culture is a traditional one, rooted by many generations who have lived in the hollows. I am interested to hear about how the mountain justice movement has been working, organizing in a region that can be suspicious of community activists and environmentalists. In some ways, this is similar to environmental justice coalition building between tribal people and non-native environmentalists that I've been dedicated to for over 30 years. Shanghai Network, Black Mesa and Big Mountain Support Groups, Black Hills Alliance, and Clamshell are all important examples of native and non-native people working together in alliance to defend Mother Earth. Brennan, would you please talk about mountain justice work?
The mountain justice movement is really there to support the grassroots organizations. Coal River Mountain Watch, which I'm a member of, is very much a grassroots organization. The founders and most of the staff have families that go back generations in the valley. At that request, people from other parts of this country are coming to assist us, coming to see what's going on, doing what they can in their parts of the country, and networking. There are deep roots in the community that don't want to be uprooted. So many people, you know, you find out sometimes after you've been working with someone for several months that they're related. You know, even within the same office now, we have three people that have a common ancestor back nine generations ago who didn't know that until recently. But it's a very close to home issue when people are being removed from, you know, from what they've considered their homeland for hundreds of years. You know, mountain justice works in concert and hand in hand with local groups.
I come from the mountains, that rolling land. I once was happy, but now I'm sad that mining company took away my home, part of my land, and now it's gone. There's no more sparrows, there's no more trees. I'll go to the city, there'll be a job for me. I'll cut my roots and I'll work in the mill while the mining company destroys my hill. $800 would have saved my land, but that banker was a mining man. There's no more time, was all he had to say. Now I got to leave here, Lord, in 6 more days. Thank you.
to move her web. I told the sparrow to move her nest far over the mountains to where the land is green, where there ain't no bankers, no mining machine. Said it told the spider to move her web. I told the sparrow to move her nest far over the mountains to where the land is green, where there ain't no bankers, no mining machines.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwisi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of Sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or If you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum, to contact Yat Kedetchi Native Center, write to Yat Kedetchi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedetchi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Music from Hopi singer-songwriter Clark Tenak Hongvuk from his Kin Record CD entitled Hear My Song, Hear My Prayer, Songs from the Hopi Mesas. The name of the song was The Purple and Yellow Corn is My Mother. As most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices know, the Hopi have long been the victims of coal mining. Peabody Coal Company continues to rape sacred native lands, as well as steal millions of gallons of precious underground aquifer water for their coal slurry process. Like in Appalachia, water pollution and toxic waste from mining are destroying Indian communities. The cultural spiritual lifeways of both Dene Navajo and Hopi peoples are greatly impacted from mining, not to mention the desecration occurring to sacred lands and sacred sites. Corn is sacred to us Indian people. I've seen ancient Hopi cornfields unable to grow beautiful plants as a result of coal mining depleting precious water in a region that is already very arid. Hopi dryland farming is done with prayer and ceremony. Coal mining disrupts this spirit relationship. Coal dust blowing in the winds also restrict plant photosynthesis, not to mention impacting human health. For more information on the Black Mesa coal mining situation, please visit Black Mesa Indigenous Support website, www.blackmesas.org. Once again, for more information on the Black Mesa coal mining situation, visit Black Mesa Indigenous Support website, www.blackmesais.org. Mining is a rape of Mother Earth. The song you heard prior to our Yard Kiddushi Native Center was entitled Spider Song, sung by Michael and Carrie Klein. This Falling Mountain Music CD was produced as a benefit for Mountain Justice, one of the grassroots community organizations defending Appalachia, which today's program guest, Mr. Vernon Haltom, represents. The website for the CD, Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia, Rise Up Against Mountaintop Removal Coal Mining, is www.fallingmountain.com. Once again, the website for the CD, Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia, Rise Up Against Mountaintop Removal Coal Mining, is www.fallingmountain.com. I urge all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about mountain justice issues in Appalachia and ways in which you can support the movement. Check out the websites from these two organizations. Coal River Mountain Watch, www.crmw.net, and Appalachian Voices, www.appvoices.org. Once again, ways in which you can learn more about mountain justice in Appalachia is visiting these two organizations' websites, Coal River Mountain Watch, www.crmw.net, and Appalachian Voices, www.appvoices.org. As always, keep listening to Wolf Mountain Radio for mountain justice news and updates. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Next week on Wolf Mountain Radio, we will present Program 3 in our special series entitled Raping Appalachia Mountain Justice Movement. We shall conclude with a round dance song from the drum Blackstone off their Canyon Records CD. The name of the song is Young Runner. In Indian country, a runner is a person who is given the important responsibility to carry messages between communities, bringing the voice and guidance of the clan mothers and elders. It is an important and honored duty. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kenon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.